If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you. It's Friends Without Benefits. It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today, my guest is Rebecca Lieb. Rebecca has actually been on Friends Without Benefits previously. So this is a part two, kind of catching up with her. She just finished writing for a game show called Hollywood Game Night, hosted by Jane Lynch. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of find out what I didn't know people really wrote for game shows, so be curious to see kind of what goes on behind the scenes and kind of just catch up with her in general in between those times. If you don't remember, in the first episode she was on, she revealed that she used to be a phone sex operator. So we kind of an updated kind of philosophical conversation on that, and she was in New York. She's been back here. She also co-hosts a podcast called Ghost Town, which I've mentioned about 1,000 times. So that kind of works itself out that I get to mention Ghost Town again. You'll have to excuse me. I have jet lag, and I always kind of joke about having jet lag kind of no matter where I go, even if there's no time zone difference. But I just got back from Europe, and that's like, I guess, 9 time zones. And I gotta be honest, I'm a mess. I know I sound, you know, really put together, coherent, articulate, but I'm a huge mess. But it was a great trip. It was amazing. My wife and I had a great time. She planned everything and, she made it all happen. And I just wore different layers basically, to kind of catch you up, kind of brief you on what I did there. I won't spend a lot of time on that because it's not that interesting. And other people talk about these cities in a more interesting way than I do. But Berlin was amazing. I mean, I've always been obsessed with the Berlin Wall, Checkpoint Charlie, historical kind of locations like that, because I grew up, you know, kind of learning about the Berlin Wall kind of when it was happening. So that was something that was just, I was just always fascinated with that. I did a show with Cosmic Comedy, some stand-up, amazing, like packed house. People were laughing. People were taking pictures. I was like, don't take a picture of me, because then you're going to go through your photos. And I don't know if, you know, maybe there's some tourists there, and there's also a hostel right next to it. So it's an English speaking club. So most everyone spoke English, although people from different parts of the world. But I was like, you don't want me to be, when you're scrolling through your pictures, like, Berlin was so great. And then why did I take a picture of this guy? So that was going on in my head. So the show was great. Very thankful. My first stand-up show outside of Los Angeles. I performed improv outside of Los Angeles, you know, various areas and festivals. But this is the first time performing stand-up outside of Los Angeles. And everyone was really great. And Berlin was amazing. We were kind of sad to leave, but then we moved on to Prague. Again, amazing. And I was in Berlin and Prague like 20 years ago. Don't remember much. Prague is, I mean, if you like looking at architecture, like Berlin is an old city. You know, there's the oldest restaurant in Berlin is from like 1621, and there's older buildings. But like you go to Prague and they're like, this is 1000, you know, AD. And we were stayed in a really great, I mean, the Airbnb was amazing. It was like kind of hotel level Airbnb. So that was like my favorite Airbnb. And we're right by the St. Charles Bridge, but that's also where all the tourists are. So it was a very kind of touristy thing, although it was really beautiful city. I did stand up with Velvet Comedy. That was really great. And although Prague was amazing, I think we could have been there like 1.5 less days. From there, went to Copenhagen. Amazing. I didn't get to do, I was only there like 2 days, so I tried to get a stand-up show in, but I couldn't make that work. But that city was amazing. And I heard maybe a rumor that maybe the people in Copenhagen were not super friendly. Untrue. Very, very untrue. In fact, Prague was, everyone was great in every city. Prague was probably a little the most kind of stoic, I would say. And this is a generalization. I do not know. But everyone was really lovely, and people in Copenhagen were really great, great, awesome city. I checked out this area called the Freetown Christiana, which is like this community that kind of blew my mind on the last day. A new episode of Ghost Town that'll be coming out, we discuss it, or I discuss it with Rebecca, because I was so excited to be there, and I wanted to talk about it. So you can check out Ghost Town on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you find podcasts. And then I'll have on my Instagram plenty of pictures, which my Instagram is TheJasonHorton, and my blog, ghosttowntravels.com, putting it all up there. So it was great. I mean, Europe was amazing. Glad to be back. Got some exciting things happening. The Thinning New World Order, I went to the premiere the day The Thinning New World Order came out on YouTube Originals, and it'll be on Netflix and probably in the next like couple of months. So that's out. I'm in that. You want to check that out if you haven't yet. I think it's first month is free or something like that. So if you want to watch it but not have to spend any money, which is what I would probably do, to be honest with you. So that was exciting. But, you know, that went to that premiere. And what was interesting about that is I've been watching – I'm a late to the show Shameless. So I – pretty much over the last couple of months watched, I pretty much got caught up with it, you know. And the actor who plays Ian, his name escapes me, Monahan. Oh, I forget his name. He was there at the premiere. I guess he's dating the star, Peyton List, one of the stars. So it's just interesting to be I've been watching this dude for months. So I didn't watch Shameless, like, you know, in real time. I watched it in, like, binge time. And it's just a weird thing. And again, I'm sure it didn't. When he was watching it, it did not even register what I did. I'm not super important in it. I mean, I'm in it, but it's just weird for somebody to be like, I watched you on TV. Now you're watching me in a movie. It's a YouTube original movie, but still a movie. I think that's weird. That's something I just don't. It's just not something that I always. And I mentioned this. Like, I'm always somebody who thought, like, I'm just a consumer. And I'm not to be on that other side, and I'm really not for the most part. I mean, you know, fortunately, I people will put me in things or audition for things, and people are like, yeah, all right, you're good enough. And so it was just kind of just like a weird thing, but it was a really cool premiere, very kind of fancy on some fancy roof, and everyone was really excited, excited to, you know, came out. It was great, super great. I don't know, is it exciting as Warby Parker? Warby Parker was founded with a rebellious spirit and a lofty goal to create boutique-quality eyewear at a revolutionary price point. I mean, I like that. I like rebellion, you know? I don't like the system. And I really kind of love the companies that are kind of born from, like, hey, we're kind of sick of the way you normally have to do it. It really is revolutionary. And, like, going to an eye doctor and trying on glasses, or going to a eyeglass store. I don't know. I hate leaving the house. So Warby Parker has kind of read my mind and taken a lot of things I don't like, because I've been wearing glasses since I was 12. And although I do wear contact lenses sometimes, I'm mostly a glasses guy. I'm wearing them right now. The Warby Parker aesthetic is vintage inspired with a contemporary twist. Every pair is a custom fit with anti-reflective polycarbonate prescription lenses. Available exclusively through Warby Parker's website and retail stores, glasses start at $95, including the prescription lenses. And if you know glasses, that's amazing. It's affordable with quality. The Warby Parker Home Try-On Kit makes it so easy, because you can try them on at home. Probably you're going to be wearing them at home. So it's like, I like trying on things at home where I'm kind of feel comfortable to look at it. that's just me. But then you get to show, you know, I get to show my wife or my friends. I have friends. You believe me, right? Of course, I have friends, and I could be like, hey, how does it just be real? How does this look? And the home try-on kit makes it so easy. The home try-on program is amazing. You order 5 pairs of glasses, and you try them on for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. Ships free and includes a prepaid return shipping label. The glasses start at $95, including the prescription lenses. The lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. For every pair you buy, a pair is distributed to someone in need. That's amazing. They don't have to do that, but they do because they're cool. Do you have an iPhone X? Well, make sure to download the Warby Parker iTunes app where you can see their brand new feature, Find Your Fit. Find Your Fit uses the iPhone X True Depth camera to map and measure key facial features. Using these measurements, Find Your Fit recommends approximately 12 Warby Parker frames that are likely to be the best fit for your face. The process is seamless and takes only a few seconds. Their technology is working with you and for you to make it easy. Head to warbyparker.com/FWB to order your free home try-ons today. That's warbyparker.com/FWB to order your free home try-ons today. All right, let's get into my conversation with Rebecca Lieb. All right, so we successfully covered the joke where I put the microphone on top of the Gloria Steinem book.
Revolution from Within?
Yeah.
We're using it to prop up a white man's agenda.
Yeah, the white man's. But here's the thing. It's like, I live in Los Angeles, though, and I have a podcast. Do you understand? Rebecca, do you understand? Yeah. And if this Gloria Steinem book has to prop up the microphone.
Yeah, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Our shitty ghost town podcast is, there are a lot of brave people that came before us.
For us, yeah, and then here we are. But this is about you.
This is about me?
Yeah, this podcast is about you.
Ooh.
Yeah, so
you, oh, the last time we were our podcast time, or what? Or I'm on Friends Without Benefits. I don't know.
I like to think like you are on so many podcasts, you don't know which one you're
I'm
on.
I'm reeling.
Yeah, no, this one is about you, because you were on, I think it was a couple of years. It was like 2015.
Yeah, with Lindsay, right?
No. Oh, so this is the third time you're on.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Lucky number 3.
It's not lucky. Oh.
Is it co-host, if exclusive club of 3+ times guesting.
If you still have time to do a podcast, especially this one, mm-hmm. It's not good luck. It's bad luck. You're not doing well.
Damning it?
Yeah, you're not doing very well. But you were on, I think, because I took a year off, so people are like, oh, you've been doing this for 3 years. Why isn't it more successful? So I took a year off, but that's not why. It's just unsuccessful.
My personality.
Yeah, and just because that's me. I'm not good at this. But you were on 2015, so you can go back and check out, you know, part one, I guess.
I don't remember that. I don't even remember
what
that's
the one where
about.
you revealed that you were a phone sex operator.
Oh,
I had
right.
no idea.
Okay, I do remember that, yeah. And then the second, well,
the second one wasn't really. It was about your podcast with Lindsay.
Yeah, now defunct, but very fun, Boss Bitch.
Yeah,
I remember having a lot of fun on that one. The Fun Sex one again. It's all a drug-addled haze.
Yeah. Well, I want to just see how far you've come in the last 2.5 years.
not far.
Not far. But that one. When I found out that you were a phone sex operator, would you like? Okay, think about it right now.
Okay.
Would you go back to doing it based on your situation right now, both financially or emotionally or whatever? Would you go back and do it if the money was there? And
The money was never really there.
Okay.
I think I mentioned that I make like $25 an hour, which was a lot for me when I was 23.
Yeah.
I think nowadays I'd be like, eh. So I don't think I'm in the same place. Thank
God. What about like an hour a day?
An hour? I don't know, because it's not for an hour a day. My phone is slippery.
Yeah.
I keep slipping.
Yeah.
It's new.
Yeah.
I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well.
Wait, you have a case on it.
Just going to slip. I ordered one, but I need to get one.
So you're rolling the dice there.
I know. I'm going to go to the AT&T store by your house.
Okay.
No, I mean, I am in a different, I mean, for an hour a day, it wouldn't be worth it, I don't think.
Because of, just because of where you're at or just the work itself? Or you're just like, I'm not really in that place.
I'm not in that. I mean, I did a lot of things, Jason, for the story of
right.
Like a lot of things. And now I'm all storied up, you know?
Yeah.
Like
Do you think the reason people call have changed too? Like the fetishes have changed?
Well, I don't even think it exists. Like I would be a cam girl now. Like I wouldn't. Oh, does that still exist? Like I would be. Like I don't think like a phone sex operator even exists anymore.
You know what I think is, if you really want to know what I think, yes, cam girls obviously they still do because of the way pornography has changed, from everything's online. But I think what it was what people do is people sometimes women will be. You have like a popular Instagram page or like a Twitch account or whatever. And then
you know what I would do though? I would be like, I would have an Instagram account, like a sex worker account.
Yeah.
And I would like put, I was listening to Chris Gethart's podcast, Beautiful Anonymous.
Okay.
About a BDSM, a woman who did that. And she had her own Instagram account. I think I'm also aged out of a lot of ways, and she had an Instagram account, and it was like sexy photos, and guys would write in to asking her to just put pictures up of her doing specific things. Like, you know, like they'd send her like shit to wear, or like, you know, they'd send, you know, they'd be like, can you like send me your shoe? You know, like stuff like that, where there'd be like this communicational exchange kind of via Instagram, and they'd have a subscription, so they'd pay her money every month to be kind of a part.
And I think that's
dialogue.
What it is now. There's a lot of Patreons will be like, hey, you want to get my like truly sexy
I would do
thing?
That. Yeah. Honestly. but yeah, I think phone sex too is just like a very it's kind of taxing. Think about talking on the phone with people you love.
But there's still probably enough people out there that are kind of old school like that. Or they're just like, listen, I just really like that. That's my kink, or whatever as they say. Well, you need to get like a some kind of like a protege or somebody that's like like in the world and in the tech to be like, hey, this is how you do it.
Yeah, I do. But I would be a sex worker again, I think. I mean, again, I think it would have to be a little bit different because I think my relationship to like doing stuff like
that.
What
do you mean by sex worker?
I mean, stuff like Instagram. Like, I don't know if I would have sex with people for money, but I think I would.
Would you give it away for free?
Oh, I'm trying. Anyone? Any takers? I'm doing my best. but yeah, I think I would still work in that realm. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
What would that... I guess, what would be your thing in that, though? Like, where would be... like
my
what,
role?
Yeah, like, what, not I don't where, know. What would you be like, oh, this is something that I could... Because you have to kind of... There's got to be upkeep.
Well, how if people like middle-aged Jewish Midwesterners...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I would love, actually, you know what would be great is to be a financial, a findom. You know what that is?
No. Was it like how you, like you talk down how they spend money or is it like?
Yeah, you dominate men by having them spend money on you. How amazing would that be?
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
So if anyone needs a findom out there, I will berate you. I will shame
your
you.
Your credit score
day or
going
night,
down.
Day or
fucking sick.
Night. Day or night. I have PayPal. I have Venmo. So I think that'd be really
fun. You know what you need to do? Maybe you gotta get yourself an Amazon wish list.
Yeah.
You get yourself one of those.
But what if no one buys anything on it?
Well, I mean, that's...
And will they know? It's also like the identity thing is also a kind of a strange...
You don't want people to know your...
I mean, I'd probably like use a different name maybe. I don't know.
What about just Becky Lieb?
Can we go more Semitic? Becky Leibowitz, sex worker.
All right, so we got that cover. So now we know where you're at with that, and that's why you're on Friends Without Benefits again. That's why you're here. But I feel like in the time for people, you know, because you'll go back and listen to the first one and get like, you know, this is like your second act, third act.
Oh, I didn't realize we were talking about sex work on this. This is the round two.
No.
Where are they now?
I feel like in that time you also were living in New York for a while.
I was living in New York for a while.
There was a time where I was just like, I have no idea where you live.
Yeah, but it's also like not that hard. Like I think even now people are like, you in LA? And I'm like, I've been here for a fucking year.
Yeah,
like all my shows are here.
That's what's confusing because sometimes I feel like you had a show in New York and then a show in LA, like back to back. So that's why I was just like, I don't know what's...
I mean, I feel like that's a lot of comics, though, who are like back and forth and back and forth. But yeah, people get very confused by it.
I mean,
it.
A few days ago, I was performing in Prague.
I know, exactly. So, where are you? Do you live in Prague now?
I guess, so when you were in New York, you were there for what?
Well, the first time I was there to make compromises to salvage my romantic relationship, and that didn't work out so well. And then the second time I was there, I worked at a TV show for a season called James Patterson's Murder is Forever. And that was really fun, but also strange.
And what'd you do? What'd you do for that?
I did like a lot of writing, producing, consulting for it.
And that was kind of on the, what was it? Kind of like a dramatic reenactment-y type thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was an hour-long drama based on real crimes.
Yeah.
So it was a real, yeah, it was an adventure. So I did that. I also did stand up out there and taught some classes.
Yeah, you did like a pilot.
I have a pilot writing class 6 week and a boot camp. If anyone is interested, it's really fun. It's fun for me too.
It's fun when people go and pay you, or
yeah, it's fun when people pay me to.
But
do you
feel like you when by the process of you teach, like you're kind of learning, like it's keeping you from be like, oh yeah, like people, other people's thought process and how to like put a pilot together. Is that kind of like? Are you getting something out of it too in that sense?
Where, yeah, it's really inspiring. Yeah. And people are really, I've had a lot of really good luck in working with really, really talented people.
Anyone ever have success from one of your classes?
Yeah, people have won. People did the Sundance episodic lab.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Pretty far in it.
Based on your tutelage?
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, I've had people win contests. I don't know if anyone's gotten staffed from a sample, but I think it's helped people get management. Yeah, I mean, it's super really gratifying.
So, it's, you know. So, they're getting a lot of success from it, but you're...
I'm getting hundreds of dollars.
You're getting hundreds.
No, it's helpful to me, too.
And then, so, when do you... Like, that's the thing. It's like, I know people, I'm from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, people seem to kind of come and go, what is the thing where you're like, I'm good with New York right now?
I love it. It's really fun to be there. I would move there.
What would be the reasons for you to want to move there?
I mean, if I get more work there.
Sure.
I mean, it was also really easy, honestly, to sublet my place here and kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
So it feels more possible. Like before I kind of moved out there for whatever reason, it felt like LA, like I'd been here for so long and I've struggled here for so long and it's like I can't possibly leave. But it's really much more fluid and fine than people think. It's easy. Yeah. It's not so
and I guess bad. If something like you're like I gotta come back for like 2 days to LA, it's not
It's like a direct
I just got back from Europe.
Yeah.
I get it. Do you know what I mean? Did I mention that yet? Have I mentioned
not
it?
Not enough.
Not enough. I will. I'll do it 17 more times.
Thank you.
Before
Thank
this
you.
Ends. So what was because there's a point where you're just like, I'm coming back to Los Angeles. What was that? Did you know that ahead of time? Or was there a day where you're just like, I'm out of here?
No, I mean, the show wrapped and then I was doing kind of freelance work for them for a little bit longer. I was like, when do I need to come back? So it was around when did we stop? I mean... I came back October 15th of last year, so almost a year ago.
Okay.
I permanently moved back. And it was, about arrangements, and I was living with a good friend of mine and kind of that. But I also, tried to see my ex one more time, and I sent him this, long letter of, full disclosure how I felt, and he never responded to it. So it was, a lot of, for me, tying up things with New York and being like, all right, I'm going back to L.A. I'm going to, reground myself there. And see what happens.
Did it help, do you think? Did you think it...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it did, because I had always... I thought we were going to get back together. We hung out. I thought that was going to happen. And I never... Because I was afraid to say stuff while we were hanging out, and it was, so fun and so sad, I didn't get to say everything I needed to say. So I got to do that in the letter and kind of whatever. I mean, he has horrible communication issues.
Yeah.
So it was never going to be him communicating with me. It was always going to be me kind of pushing him to talk or pushing myself to say how I felt.
Yeah.
Then I came back here and it felt a lot better, but I do miss New York. I have lots of friends there. It's really fun to be there. I still teach and do shows there. As I said,
we have a podcast called Ghost Town.
We do.
Which I mention on here all the time. And I'm going to mention it more in Ghost Town, that Friends Without Benefits is, it's like we're just a family, you know what I mean?
We're just a family.
Yeah, I'm the mother and the father.
Mm-hmm. And I am the neighbor.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
I was thinking more Full House, or not Full House, Home Improvement. Yeah. Like the least sexy neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a, yeah, like a hat.
We should go out and do stand up there. We should do Ghost Town out there.
We should do a tour. Well, Ed and I went and did a big tour right before I got the job.
We should do it. Because, I mean, I've, you know, excuse me to see my family. Maybe my,
yeah. Well, I also know all the places to get shows out there, too.
If you're in Berlin, I can probably hook you up with some shows. Did I mention I was doing some shows in Berlin as well? I got that covered.
Yeah,
you got
Berlin covered.
I got the Eastern Bloc rock covered, if you want it.
Amazing.
So you also have, you just finished another job.
Yes.
And so you were writing for a game show,
mm-hmm.
which is a strange, I'm an outsider. I don't know much. Mm-hmm. Although I know you hooked me up with a gig there a couple of years ago to kind of run through the game show, which is super fun.
That was really fun. I've gotten a lot of friends, like weird, like stand-in jobs there and stuff. It's really, I mean, this is the show that I've been on longest, and who knows if I'll be at, you know, you don't
and
know.
And Jane Lynch is the host?
She is. She's really nice.
With the Hollywood Game Night?
Mm-hmm.
The name is very confusing. What's it about?
Yeah, right? Tinseltown.
Yeah, oh.
Charade
evening. Yeah. And, you know, as a comedy writer, does it, I mean, obviously it fulfills you because you're getting paid, but you always, when we talk about it, you always seem to really dig it.
I do. I really, everyone's
and you're on
really
the
cool.
lot, right?
I'm on the lot.
Yeah.
Oh, intoxicating.
Yeah.
So many snacks.
Yeah, that's what I remember. It's the snacks.
I usually gain a good 15 pounds on that show, depending on how long I'm on
and
it.
And that's what, when you come to Hollywood, like, you want to gain.
Yeah.
Like, gains. I came back from Europe gains. And, like, everything is just like, I'm just like busting out of my, you know what I mean? I had a lot of still water, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a lot of croissant.
Well.
Yeah, wow. Very fancy.
It's like you just got back from Berlin or something.
Yeah, I did. Mm. Did I mention I got back from Berlin? So when you're like writing for that, is there ever like a compromise with like, I want to be writing for my own show on television in its fifth season, you know, or is it like the work, like you're just like happy to be doing the work because it's through, it's your kind of process?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to always be working, but it doesn't leave room for much else really. But it's nice too, because like really, I'm technically a producer on the show who does a lot of writing and but I also do like interviews with celebrities beforehand, and I help.
Is there
with,
anything
like,
you can talk about?
Stuff.
Is it airing right now?
No, it's not going to air till much later.
Much later.
I feel like I can.
Is there any past ones that maybe you want to?
I can talk about. I think what's can I? I don't know.
Is there anything you can talk about from previous?
About
is there
like any people getting drunk or something?
Any celebrity stuff that you can talk about from previous that are...
Yeah, I mean, I think... I wish there were more... A lot of celebrities get really, like, ashamed if they don't do really well. Yeah. Like, they're like, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, like, Katie Mixon or Miranda Cosgrove, they were like, I'm so sorry. Like, we're really beating themselves up for, like, doing badly on the show, and it's like, it's cool.
It's not, yeah. Nobody cares. It's for the audience.
But I like that they do that.
And it's a live studio audience?
It's a live audience. It's not. It's not live taping though.
Okay. But there's a live audience.
Yeah.
Do they like love it or?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really fun thing to bring people to. Like of all the shows that I work on, because there's a bar, there's snacks. Like it's not a long taping. You kind of get to hang out and like see celebrities. And Jane Lynch is a delight to watch. Yeah. So that's really fun. Yeah, I think it's a good time. I hope so.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, can you step up your, like you say you're a producer, can you step up that kind of, hey, I want to come back and be more invested in this thing where you're a...
And that's kind of what I did, because I started out as a writer's assistant there and I've worked for my same bosses for year after year. So I think I have done that. But it's also hard because it's like, yeah, it's hard straddling the scripted and game show world a little bit. I think a lot of people in game shows want to be in scripted. I think, I don't know. I love working on game shows. I think it's really fun. I think it's a good time. It's really like an interesting way to be creative that I never thought that I would be involved in, really. But it is kind of an interesting line to straddle. And the structure of scripted versus game shows is very different in terms of like you know, writer, producer, like all of those mean different things in each different world. So navigating that is kind of, it can be.
Do you feel like you have to, are you, because you discuss a lot of, I'm assuming, current relevant pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're like, oh, I know about this? Or do you like, I have no idea who this.
Oh, no. I mean, it's very like general. Like think about middle America, you know, like, sure, it's like Cardi B.
Yeah.
Heard of her?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
You know, Drake.
Bruno Mars.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, you know, like obscure. It doesn't have to be super obscure, stuff like that. Although we do kind of traverse. I think we, as people create content for the show, we always try to push those boundaries. And then the network's like, who's that? Mm-mm. Like, but that's with every show.
I want to be that
like,
person.
The network's like.
Who's always like, mm-mm, who's that? It's like, well, you're out of touch.
I know.
It's like.
Or like having calls with producers and they're like, can we get this person on the show? And we're like, they've been on the show three times.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing where like, where have you been?
Yeah.
So a little, yeah, I think that's with every show though. It's kind of a push and pull with, you know, the network and the production company and the staff. It's figuring it out.
What I've kind of noticed, and I've said this before, and especially when we did those three-part special on Ghost Town about the death of Janis
Joplin.
And
if you haven't listened to it, stop right now.
Yeah. No, don't stop.
Stop.
No, keep listening.
Send me money.
No, well,
I will text you horrible things.
Keep listening, please. It's not helpful. Don't stop them. But you're really good at being someone that can bring people together. You're kind of like this, I don't know what you want to call it, but you're like this, let's say like this
coordinator, assistant,
matriarch. I don't want to use that word.
Matriarch sounds not sexy.
Yeah.
How am I ever going to get fucked if you use that word?
This is not the purpose. I'm not here for that. I'm not a pimp. I have no idea. I mean, you're just somebody that is, I feel like in the comedy community and like people community, you're good at bringing people together. I feel like I couldn't do that. Mm. I always think like, oh man, if I had to start a GoFundMe page for whatever reason, good or bad, like I wouldn't. But I feel like if you started a GoFundMe, you really needed one, you could bring in the dollars.
That's very nice of you to say.
And
I have a lot of extra time on my hands.
I think the thing is that, and I talk about this with Michelle, is that you're just somebody that people, I don't know, I think people want to be there for you. And you haven't had to compromise anything to do. You know, a lot of people, a lot of glad handing. There's a lot of like, you know, oh, yeah, everything's cool. But you're also one to be like, this is my stance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, then go fall by the wayside. I can take it or leave it. And I think people are, obviously, you know, you surround yourself with people that are like-minded, which is, you know, it's obvious and it is good. But I think there's other people that like, I don't know, I feel like they're kind of like, I want to be, I want to be on the right side of Rebecca Leave and not on the wrong.
Very powerful.
Yeah, and this is like, and I also think that I always like it's some. I say this to Michelle. I was like, would Rebecca find this funny? Or would Rebecca be? It's not. Listen, I can't expect you to think everything is funny, but I just want to be like, would Rebecca be embarrassed of this? And that's all I can hope for is that you're like kind of like, oh, this is just really, really, really embarrassed. Like. Really embarrassing. I can't expect everything to be like, oh, this is like amazing, but like you just want to be on the side. And I feel like that's what you are to people. And I don't know if
it's,
you know,
very flattering.
Well, it's, you know, it's, and I don't know what that is about a person, but I feel like that takes years and time of like, one, being a quality person, to whatever that is, doing quality work, whatever, whatever that is, you know what I mean, and being consistent with that, and then being somebody that, you know, I'm sure you're also there for other people. You're a very busy person. You like make time. Of course, when I want time. I put in the work with Rebecca Leib Incorporated. Believe me, I put in my time.
And here you are at the manse.
Yeah, I want to be fit in with that thing. So that's just something that is, I think, if you don't know Rebecca, she's not just a former phone sex operator.
No, I'm.
She's not just a has-been washed-up phone sex operator. That she's more than that. She's more than a currently unemployed.
I am an almost a findom.
Yeah.
So I'm between these
I want to make that work.
I do too.
Yeah, like I feel like you'd be really, because I feel like you're like, you like Jew, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
Jewish.
I'm like ruthless.
Yeah, it's just like
I have learned. It's in my DNA.
Yeah,
to want just, your money.
And what is that? So like, is the goal for somebody that is that you're spending it and you're making them feel bad that they have less money or they don't know how to spend their money?
No, they get off. Okay, so they send. So it's more just like, you're a fucking filthy piece of shit. Send me $100. Pay Venmo.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you disgust me.
Yeah.
Like, buy me an iPhone.
And so it's usually it's not. This, it's not sexual, like kind of surfacely sexual.
Yeah, it's more of like a domination.
Yeah.
In that way, where it's like you're very like you've been so bad, you don't deserve this money that you earned.
Do you think on an unofficial level? Because you know, and I'm just gonna pick a typical like kind of guy girl dating scenario where a guy goes ask a girl out and pays. For you know what I mean? I'm like, there's something, but I'll listen, if somebody else wants to pay, go for it. I don't, what do I care? But you know, I've offered to, just because it's like, well, I asked you out, so I'm going to offer to pay. I don't know if there's any rules anymore with that. You know, some people are, guys can be old fashioned, but do you think there are some guys that feel a sense of like either power or what you're talking about, where they're, I'm paying for dinner. Whether we, I don't care if we have sex or not.
Listen, I think I want equality in everything, but I still think in dating and the sexual relationships between men and women, it's not quite like that. In a lot of, I mean, I wish it were, and I want it to, and I think it's getting there. But I think like it still makes men like men want to feel like they're chasing something or provider or like all of that stuff still feels like really built in.
Yeah,
and women still want to feel like sought after,
taken care of in some way,
and like. Again, I think that that's more in like the courtship kind of.
Not issue. Emotionally though.
Not emotionally. Not emotionally.
Guys are like, oh no, renegades. I don't. I'm like, I am void.
Yeah, and I think, and this is really just like light-handed too, because I think if now we're talking about dating, but I think like money and men and money, there's much more of a tight-knit relationship than women's identity to money and. Success, and I think it's all changing, and I hope it changes. And I hope
I do a podcast, so I really can't relate, but personally, but I can
but
see
like,
what you're saying.
So many men are like, if I'm not success, you know, like if I don't have this much money, I can't possibly date, or like I can't be here, or I can't do this. Whereas women are like a little more not like they're a little more, I'll make it work kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess we're kind of talking about a lot of different things right now, but I think financially, the financial. Identity between genders still feels different, and dominating men based on their financial relationship is still a thing. In fact, there's a couple articles about it by Allison Stevenson. She's a comedian who did it a little bit.
And oh, interesting.
With her advice. Yeah.
And also,
you have to get that?
No, means your time's up.
I'm cooked.
Your time is up. I get a lot of men. I was in Europe, okay. So I'm kind of doing playing a little catch up here.
I didn't
mention that.
Yeah.
Also, you have an interesting sense. You you don't think people should vote, which I thought was very.
Oh God! Cut!
No. But so, you know, vote, right?
Yeah, vote.
You also said
was
you
this
haven't
gonna come out before the midterms? Oh, great!
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm going to be in Palm Springs, baby.
Yeah.
Call me on Instagram.
Yeah. It's going to be very arid outside. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but please vote. Oh, my God. It's really important.
Please
vote.
I'm
very nervous.
And you actually mentioned that you had some, and we're not going to mention it here, but it's for me personally, you had some thoughts on propositions and.
Yeah.
I'd like to
if this comes out before, like DM me on Instagram. I will send you my voter's guide. It's really comprehensive.
It's just Rebecca Lieb on Instagram.
Rebecca Lieb on Instagram. Mm. I will get back to you. I promise. Send me like a way to send it to you. Please.
Because I do remember in your email, and I've been wanting to get that from you.
I'll send it to you.
So vote.
Vote.
It's an important message.
Vote. Give me your money.
Yeah. So the takeaways are vote, give Rebecca.
Jason was in Europe.
Yeah. I was in Europe. We also have a podcast called Ghost Town.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out every Wednesday.
The Lord's Day.
My Instagram is the Jason Horton. The Ghost Town podcast is Ghost Town Pod.
Rebecca Lieb.
Is Rebecca Lieb.
L-E-I-B. You'll find it. It's not hard.
Yeah, it's out there.
I don't need to give you directions.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Friends without benefits.